every single person that we come in contact would be prepared to meet the Lord. That they would be prepared so that with them also, as with my dear father, that they would also be in Christ. And death would be swallowed up in victory. That's our job, and that's why we do what we do. That everyone would be prepared to meet the Lord. There's many people who think he's going to come soon. I'm one of them. But whether he does or he doesn't, the fact and the truth of the matter is we will all meet him in any case. And so ours is to be prepared for that inevitable meeting. To be prepared. And how can we be prepared? How can we be adequately prepared? How can we know when we're prepared to meet him? Well, for those who haven't met Christ yet, those who have not been reconciled with the Lord yet, it starts very simply, like it did with me. I'm the most unlikely candidate for the grace of God. You're looking at one of the original, probably one of the first 10 flower children. Because there was a movement, and it was about peace and love, and I wanted to be part of it. I wanted to be where there was peace and love. But it didn't take me very long to find out there was no peace or love in that movement. One day when I was discouraged and just back to life as usual, playing lead guitar in the clubs for our favorite motorcycle gangs known as Southern Connecticut, one day the most amazing, unusual, and unexpected things happened. I unsuspectingly, naively walked into the men's room of the university I was attending in New Haven, Connecticut. And laying in the men's room, there was this strange-looking little orange-yellow pamphlet. Now picture this, right? My hair's down to here, right? And I walk into this men's room, and I see this little pamphlet laying there, and I picked it up. And I took it home with me, and I started to read it. Can you imagine that? Can you imagine the grace of God in that? It was all about how to be reconciled to God. How to have your sins forgiven, completely forgiven. How to know where you're going. How to be filled with peace and love. Peace and love, man, that's what I want. So I got my best friend, who was a biker. He said, Jeff, we need to get born again. What? We need to get born again. I heard you. What does that mean? Well, we had tried a lot of crazy things by the time we got to that age, but nothing could have prepared him for that. But his life was as empty as mine. And when I read through this with him again, I said, Jeff, we need to get born again. He said, okay. We got down on our knees and we confessed our sins. And we said, Jesus, if you are real, please come into our lives. But when we rose up, we were new creatures in Christ. The old things had passed away and everything became new. We were transformed into new creatures. And you know what it was that transformed us? We experienced the love of God. We were bathed in His love. We knew we belonged to Him. We experienced a peace that is not found in anything in this world. And we were transformed by it. We were so transformed that we've been telling people about Jesus ever since. Almost 200 years now. And there's some people out here that have not experienced that love of God. You have not experienced it. You're just going through life blind, like, and you just don't know what's going on. And you've never felt God's love. For you tonight, I want you to do something real simple. We have a bunch of these on the table in the back by our CDs. And I want you to take one on your way out. And I want you to put it in your purse or put it in your pocket. And when you get home into a quiet place, I want you to read it and do what it says. When you get to the last page, it helps, gives you a little prayer, how to pray, how to receive Christ. Just do what it said, just like I did. Just do what it said. You don't have to do anything. You don't have to climb up the Himalayas or eat tofu. Thank goodness, I never would have been saved. Now, confess your sins and receive Christ. This little booklet helps you understand how to do it. So on your way out, just take one with you and do it. We get emails back from people, calls back from people who've taken these and they prayed and they've been touched by God. We want you to be touched by God tonight if you desire. For those who've already made that first step, many of us who have made that first step with Christ are still not prepared to meet Him. And why are we prepared? Because of these two commandments. I am the Lord thy God, you shall have no other gods before me. And you shall love the Lord thy God with all your heart, mind, soul, and strength. These two commandments demonstrate clearly how unprepared we are to meet Him. Because except in rare instances, we love all kinds of things more than we love God, and we have all types of idols before Him. It's not that we don't love God. We do love God. That's why we're here tonight. It's just that we love so many other things as well. We love so many things of this world. Now, I want you to picture this, a young woman on the biggest day of her life. The day she's getting married, and as she's through the stately wedding march down the aisle, she's suddenly gripped with a realization that the latest video just came out. She needs to get it and watch it. That would never happen, right? Why? She does not have time. Nor the interest, nor does she care what the latest video is. She's thinking about that guy who's standing on the altar waiting for her. Her thoughts are not distracted at that time. And that's how we are to be as the bride of Christ. The Father right now is preparing that bride which He promised. And that bride is composed of those who have not only received Christ, but have learned to love Him more than anything. More than the world, more than anything in the world, more than anything in the world. They have learned to love Jesus more. That's a big process. It doesn't happen overnight. It takes discipline and it takes time. That's why the virgins who were asleep couldn't all of a sudden be ready to meet the Master when he came. It takes time to be prepared to learn how to love the Lord more than anything, to let the things of the world go. And so we challenge people right now, while there's just enough time to get ready, we challenge people to be part of the five virgins who got up and were dressed and were ready and had their lamps lit, who were waiting for the Master when he came. These are the ones who have turned their back on the world and their faces set like flints for the New Jerusalem. They care nothing about this world or the opinions of this world, nor the opinions of others about themselves. They only love Jesus. This is a test of our love for God. This is the barometer. When is the last time that you went to spend time with Jesus because you missed being with him? If you run to Jesus whenever you have a few minutes because you just love to be with him, you don't need to listen to this, because you are the bride of Christ. And when he comes, you will run toward him. But if there's all type of worldliness and distractions, you know, it's not that we don't love God. We just get distracted from him so easy. We get distracted from him by everything. And for us who don't deal with that, who are living distracted lives, and though we go to church and we say we love God, yet the rest of the week we live just like everyone else. For us, his coming is going to be a mixed thing, because we're going to be scared as well. We don't want that to happen. So this is the time to be prepared. Now, how do we learn to love God more than the world? That's the big question, and it's a very simple answer. It's a simple answer, so easy that anybody can do it. How do we learn to love God more than the world? By spending time with him. That's all. It's just like that old song. The things of the world grow strangely dim, the lightless glory of Christ. As we spend time in God, the things of this world begin to lose their grip. All the distractions of the world start to become meaningless to us, because we're drinking such richness in from God. So we challenge people all over the U.S. and Canada, every place we go, we challenge people everywhere to start spending an hour a day with God. And people everywhere are taking this commitment. They're raising their hands and they're saying, yeah, I want to do that. And their lives are being radically changed because they're starting to spend time with Jesus. Just that simple. Just like we did when we first met him. We couldn't get enough of Jesus. And then we just, over time, we just get distracted. Well, remember the letter to the church. He says, I appreciate all the things you're doing, but you left your first love. You don't remember who I am. And so we challenge people to start spending that time with Jesus, to remember who he is, to remember how wonderful he is, to learn how to love him better. And all it takes is just spending that time. Sit down and spend a half an hour reading the Bible, studying the Gospels. The Gospels are radically delicious. Read the Gospels. You may or may not have read them in a while. They're very neglected books. Read through the whole Bible. Take your time, a year and a half or 2 years. When you're finished, the most amazing thing will have taken place, and that is your life will be built on the rock. You won't be shaken anymore by the things you hear on TV. And when Oprah introduces the religion of the month, way, you'll know the truth, and the truth will set you free. And when Da Vinci Code 4, 5, 6, and 7 comes out, well, you can go and see them as comedies. Because a small child in Christ can destroy the absurd theories in those movies. But no one can tamper with the Bible. No one. It's impossible. It is sinless. And you'll be free. You'll be totally solid on the rock. Spend some time in prayer. Pray for your children, your grandchildren. They're facing horrible things. They're so wicked that you don't know about them. They're so horrible that if you don't pray for them, they're not going to make it. Your job as parents and grandparents is to make sure every one of your kids and your grandkids is standing before Christ. Take your job real serious. Man, you're going to need a lot more than an hour to do that. Then spend a little time thanking God for all He has done. And before you know it, you'll have spent an hour with God. Time well spent. That hour will produce for you the most amazing thing. If you do it consistently for 3 or 4 weeks or a month or a couple months, the most amazing thing will happen to you. And that is that the joy of God, the joy of the Lord will begin to come up through your toes and your legs. It will burst out of your face. The joy of God will fill you. Because you'll be drinking from the well of living water. How come Christians don't have more joy? Because we spend all of our time drinking from the world, the well of the world. There's no joy in the world. The Lord never promised us joy in the world. He said the joy would be in Him. As we spend time in Him, we get filled with joy. A joy which is eternal. It's not based on circumstances. It's just a solid, real joy that comes from being in the presence of God. David called it the secret place of the Most High. So I'm going to challenge you tonight to take this commitment, even if you don't think you can. Say, boy, I don't know if I can, but I sure want to. I want you to raise up your hand, and I want you to try. So raise them up, and let's take this challenge together. Raise them up, and thank God for you guys. This is the beginning of a really great adventure.